You know, the Yontif of Chanukah is obviously a fascinating Yontif, but one of the more famous parts of the Yontif of Chanukah is the famous question of the Beis Yosef. The question that goes, how come we observe 8 days of Chanukah? After all, they found a small cruse of oil, they found a pach shemen. That oil was sufficient to light one night, and it lit for 8 nights. So according to advanced mathematics that they teach us here in Yeshiva University, what that means is that the miracle is only for 7 days, yet we observe 8 days of Chanukah, and that's the question that is well known. And of course, there are many, many, many answers to this question. A friend of mine posted on Twitter, actually, that in the 1960s, someone published a book that had around 50 answers to the question. 10 years ago, someone published a book that had around 100 answers to the question. And now, Baruch Hashem, V'hagdol Torah L'hadir, this year for Chanukah, someone published a book with 1,000 answers to that same question. You get the impression that some people just have a little too much time on their hands. But the reality is that it's a serious question. How come we observe 8 days of Chanukah if, after all, the oil would have burned for one day anyway? And there are some creative answers that are given. Just briefly, Rabbi Yoshev apparently says that we know there's a prohibition to have a menorah with a candelabrum with seven rungs to it, and therefore they needed to add on an extra day, because or else we'd have a menorah with 7 branches, which should be the same as the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and that would be forbidden. What? Okay. I mean, it's a relatively modern answer. It's an interesting answer to the question. Others suggest that maybe the Pri Chodesh, I have it here on the source sheet, Pri Chodesh suggests that maybe the reason why we have 8 days of Chanukah is because there was a miracle of the Milchama. The first day represents the miracle of the war, and then the subsequent days represent the miracle of the oil. Again, these are all interesting answers, but in Judaism we have official answers. And the official answers that are given here in the Beis Yosef, which is in source number 1. The question is, how can we have an 8-day festival if there is already enough oil for one day? And the Beis Yosef gives 3 answers. Answer number 1, he says, they divided that oil up into 8 parts. So each night of Chanukah, they did not light a full measure of oil. Rather, what they did is they lit 1/8 of a measure of oil. That's the first answer. The second answer is, it's the Od Yesh Lomar, Shala'acha Shanosnu Shemen B'Neiros HaMenorah Kishior, Nishar HaPach Malei Kibatrila, V'Nikar Haneis Ach B'Laila Rishona. The second explanation is that after they poured the oil the first night, the container from which they poured the oil remained full. And since that container remained full, so even the first night of Chanukah, there was a miracle. That would imply, however, that the last night of Chanukah, there is no miracle, and that's the Pri Chodesh's question on the second approach. Third approach is that the first night they lit the candles, and the candles burn, but it doesn't decrease the amount of oil. So consequently, right, the second night they're lighting that same oil that was put in the menorah the first night, and every night they're lighting that original oil. So the miracle is that you have a candle that's burning oil, but the oil is not getting consumed. And of course, the same question that you asked before would apply to this approach, which is that means that the last night of Chanukah, there is no miracle, and those questions are very hard to answer. But just conceptually speaking, if I can give a moment or two of drush, answer 2, that they fill the menorah with oil and the container remained full, That answer has precedent in Tanakh. By Elisha, right? We learn Sefer Melachim, right? So Elisha, the woman comes to him, she says, I'm very poor. Ein lavdech kol baboyes, there's nothing left at home. So Elisha says, you know what? Borrow kelim me'es kol shecheinoichi, borrow kelim from all of your neighbors. And they close the door and they pour and they pour and they pour. And finally, only after Ein od keli, only after there are no utensils that remain, there are no containers that remain, only then did that original jar end up empty. So that's an episode in Melachim Beis, Perek Dalet, an episode of Elisha. But a similar episode also takes place in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, the Eliyahu HaNavi at Har Carmel. Eliyahu HaNavi is confronting the Nevi'e HaBaal, and Eliyahu HaNavi, this is coming after 3 years of intense famine. There's nothing left in the country. There's no water. Nothing. Garnished. And Eliyahu HaNavi decides, he tells him, you know what, first you'll rebuild this Mizbeach that was destroyed, and then, Chevra, I want you to go, and I want you to take water. I want you to pour that water around the Mizbeach and on the Mizbeach. Pour water. And they pour the water. Then Eliyahu HaNavi says, pour more water. Vayomer shenu, vayishanu, vayomer shaleishu, vayishaleishu. There are four jugs of water, and they pour, and they pour, and they pour. And the Navi gives you the impression that they didn't refill the water. There is no water with which to refill it. Rather, the miracle was that same amount of water was able to be poured again and again. In both cases, in both the episode of Elisha and the episode of Eliyahu, the Navi is teaching us a lesson that although it would seem that our resources are limited, it seems that we have no more oil, we have no more water. But nonetheless, Hayad Hashem Tiktar, you think the Ribbono Shel Olam can't do anything. The lesson of a miracle of taking whatever limited resources you have and using those resources and having those resources grow in ways that seem miraculous, ways that are miraculous. That's the lesson of the Yontif of Chanukah. You have a little bit of oil, a tiny bit. It's going to last. You have limited resources militarily, but they will succeed. The lesson of Chanukah is the same as the lesson of Elisha. It's the same as the lesson of Eliyahu, according to the second explanation of the Beis Yosef. The third explanation of the Beis Yosef, that they lit the Chanukah, they lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and the oil, the fuel, it doesn't get consumed. That miracle also has parallels in Tanakh. Where in Tanakh do we see something that represents a fire, but that fire doesn't burn anything down? Moshe Rabbeinu by the Sneh. V'hineh, it's, I believe, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this in public, it's a symbol of the Jewish Theological Seminary, no? V'hineh hasneh bo'er ba'esh, v'hasneh inenu ukal, that you have a fire, and it's not consuming. And we have that symbol also when Klal Yisrael goes through the Midbar, Vashem Holech Lifnehem Yoimam Ba'amud Anan, Vilaila Ba'amud Eish Laha'ir Lahem. The Torah tells us that there is a fire, and that fire doesn't consume anything. That fire is just there. And that's a very powerful lesson of the Yontif of Chanukah. The powerful lesson of the Yontif of Chanukah is that fire can have two capabilities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eish Ochla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a fire. And that fire, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is a fire that destroys. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekaneh L'Nokmav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is jealous, is vengeful, and destroys those who stand up against him. But people sometimes think that that's all the Ribbono Shel Olam is. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is only that fire that consumes. That fire that destroys. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is also a different type of fire. There's a fire that doesn't destroy, but there's a fire that you use to cook with. You can improve stuff out of the fire, no? Fire has the ability not only to destroy, but the ability to take something and make it improve, make it nicer, make it better. And the lesson of Chanukah is the lesson that not only is the Ribbono Shel Olam this fire who's destroying, not only does the Ribbono Shel Olam punish the enemies, but the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence is also this fire that does not burn, it does not destroy. The fire that improves us. And in some ways, I think the lesson of Chanukah is that the Beis HaMikdash after Chanukah, those last 200 years, in some ways was improved. It was better. There was more Kedusha. The fire of Chanukah could represent a fire that does not destroy. Again, so I think both of the last two answers of the Beis Yosef are very powerful hashgafically. The idea that the oil keeps on replenishing, the idea that the oil doesn't get destroyed, I think hashgafically those are very important. But it's the first answer that I want to focus with you on. That first answer says that, you know what? They divided the oil up into 8 parts, and each night they light 1 part of the oil. Now, I got a problem. First of all, hashgafically, I don't know what that represents. What's the deeper lesson of that approach? Yeah, you could take one and make it into 8. Shkoyach, what we do? Like, what's the lesson there? Well, on the level of halacha already, and you see this in the second source I have, the Pri Chodesh is bothered by a question. The Pri Chodesh says that, you know, the Beis Yosef answers that they divide the oil up into 8 parts. Ve'eino mechuvar, it's not clear. Tamina meperk beis midos, you say in the Gemara in Menaches, and the Gemara in Yuma says, me'erev ha-boker, teina midosa shetehei dolekes o'oleches, kol ha-layla me'erev ha-boker, ve'imkei ma'ra'u l'chalko l'ches chalokim. Basically, the Gemara tells us that there's a minimum amount of oil that you have to use to light the menorah. It's a chatzi lug, the Gemara says, a half of a lug. Okay, great. So the Pri Chodesh is asking, he says, well, if they divide that oil up, what emerges is they end up with less rather than more. Had they used the amount of oil that they found to light the menorah the first night, at least, l'chol ha'pachos, they would get 1 mitzvah. But now that they divide that oil up into 8 parts, so kimtzigein, then how many mitzvahs do they get? 0. Garnished. Because they don't have enough oil the first night, they don't have enough oil the second night, they never have enough oil. So instead of 1 real mitzvah, they end up with 8 nothings. And they teach us in Yeshiva University mathematics, 8 times 0, 0. There is no mitzvah whatsoever. And this is Akasha. The Pri Chodesh is asking, how on earth did they divide it up? What emerges is they don't get any mitzvah. Now, it happens that before the Beis Yosef, there was another Jew who asked the same kashas. The Rush, in the Tosfos HaRush. Okay, let's just talk very briefly about the Tosfos HaRush. The Rush is Rabbeinu Asher, who's the father of the Tor. The Rush came from France and moved to Spain. France/German moved to Spain. And the Rush comes into the town of Barcelona, and he meets the Rashba. Apparently they spent 2 weeks together in a room with the doors closed, and all of Jewish history changed in those 2 weeks. Because that's the first time that the culture of Ashkenaz, in the sense of Ashkenaz and Sfarad, the culture of France and Germany, interacted with the culture of Spain. Until this point, there was almost no interaction. There was a tiny little community in Evreux, E-V-R-E-U-X, where there was a little bit of communication. But v'derech klal, Ashkenaz and Sfarad lived two parallel traditions. Then the Rush comes, he meets with the Rashba, and wow, suddenly Ashkenaz and Sfarad meet. And when the Rush came over, he brought with him a copy of Tosfos. Tosfos is, of course, the work of hundreds of years of Rishonim from Ashkenaz and Tsarfas. They ask kashas on Rashi mostly, kashas on the Gemara. This Gemara contradicts that Gemara. And they give answers. And there are Tosfos on every Masechta. And there are different authors of Tosfos because Tosfos just means that I jot down the conversations that happened in the yeshiva of France where I was learning. And the Rush comes over to France. The Rush, excuse me, comes over to Spain. And he brings with him a book, a manuscript, I should say, called the Tosfos HaRush. And this is the manuscript of Tosfos that the Rishonim from Sfarad had. And so if you look at the Rishonim, when the Rashba and the Ritva, they quote a Tosfos, it's not going to be our printed Tosfos very often. It's going to be the Tosfos HaRush, because that's what they were exposed to. You also, by the way, according to this analysis, you can never ask a contradiction between the Tosfos and the Tosfos HaRush, between, you can never ask a contradiction between the Rush and the Tosfos HaRush, because the Rush is his own opinion, and the Tosfos HaRush doesn't represent his own opinion. The Tosfos HaRush represents what he had in the manuscript from the Balei HaTosfos that the Rush himself studied, and then he brought over to Spain. So Tosfos HaRush over here in Shabbos Chof Aleph in the Sugya of Chanukah, Tosfos HaRush asks, how come you have 8 days of the Yontiv, the miracle is only 7 days? He asks exactly the same question of the Beis Yosef. V'yesh lomar, he gives, by the way, all three answers that the Beis Yosef gives. V'yesh lomar, the first answer of the Tosfos HaRush is, shechokos hapach l'shmona, v'dliku b'chol layla hashminas. Every night, they lit 1/8 of the oil. That's the first answer of the Beis Yosef. But then he adds a little bit. V'afagav daminan hasam tenam midasa kadesha teidolekes me'erev ad boker. He asks the pre-chadash's kasha. He says, but what do you mean? There's a minimum amount of oil that you need. You need a chatzilug shemen. You need enough oil that will light from night until the morning. So how do they divide it up? That's the pre-chadash's kasha. So the Rush answers, hainu heicha de'efshar. That Gemara that says, again, to the best of my knowledge, the Rush is, the Tosfos HaRush is the only Rishon who says this, but says the Tosfos HaRush, the Gemara that says that you need a minimum amount of oil, that Gemara is Heicha de'efshar, if it's possible. Meaning, ideally, you should have that amount of oil. But if you don't have that amount of oil, you still get the mitzvah. So the Prichodosh and the Tosfos HaRush ask, what do you mean? How come they're dividing it up into 8 parts? Doesn't 8 times 0 equal 0? The answer is no. They're really getting 8 mitzvahs, because the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah does not have to be that you light it and it burns until the morning. But even if you light a little bit, that's the mitzvah. When the Gemara says that there's a certain minimum amount, a chatzi lug, that's necessary to light the menorah, that doesn't mean it's absolutely required, and if you have less than that, you don't get the mitzvah. Rather, it means heicha de'efshar. If it's possible, you should use that amount. But if it's not possible, okay, you still get the mitzvah with a tiny amount of oil. This is what the Tosfos HaRush is saying. They would fulfill the mitzvah even though it didn't burn all night. Absolutely. What's the miracle then? So the miracle was that they found a jug of oil. And that jug of oil that they found, they were able to light for 8 nights. And they were able, after 8 nights, to go to this place, Tekoa, where they were able to obtain the best oil. And you're right, there's no miracle of lighting 8 nights. Zero miracle. They divided it up in order to get that oil back. The miracle is the war. The miracle is finding the oil. There's no miracle. How come it's celebrated for 8 days? Because for 8 days they had to make do. They had to have less oil than they would ordinarily have. It's no miracle for 8 days. I don't think he says that. Every night they let 1/8. Every night they let 1/8. And you're right, there is no miracle of the oil. I'm sorry if I'm bursting your bubble on what you learned in nursery school. What can we do according to Taisus HaRash? No miracle. Yes, sir. Where does the Gemara indicate?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
So the
Taisus HaRash, the Taisus HaRash is saying, again, we never know which halachos in the Mikdash are absolutely necessary, which halachos are l'chatchila. Usually we have a principle in Zvachim and Menachis that you need Shina Lav HaKosav La'akev, you need two different psukim. I guess the Rashi is saying that because you don't have two psukim, you don't need oil for the whole night. A little bit of oil, Shein Ge'endek, you fulfill the mitzvah. Now again, this completely destroys our notion of Chanukah. It also goes against the entire hashgafa that everyone says about the Yontif of Chanukah. The hashgafa that people are trying to do the mitzvah in absolutely the best way, and they could have been the Yotze, the mitzvah, otherwise, and even though Tuma Hutra Betzibur, even though they could have used Tomei oil, but they decided to use they decided to use non-tamei oil, and even though they could have gotten oil from nearby, they go to this place called Tekoa to get the best oil. It's all, right, this is like the stuff that makes us feel warm and fuzzy. It's so beautiful. But the Taisus HaRash says, blup, no such thing. No such thing, that's what the Taisus HaRash says, that really, there is no miracle. There's no miracle of the oil ad kan. Not only is there no miracle, and not only are they not trying to do the mitzvah in the best way, they are deliberately trying to do the mitzvah in a Yaitse Tzuzan way. They're deliberately trying to do a mitzvah in a way that we could be Yotze Bidi Eved, a teeny bit, we'll have this tiny little flame and blah, 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 blah. That's what they're deliberately trying to do. And what the Taisus HaRash, I think, is stressing is that sometimes when things are difficult, you have to know what's absolutely required in Yiddishkeit. You can't go beneath that. And you also have to know what is it that is a lechatchila, etc. Yeah. Where does it say that? The Beis Yosef says that, but Taisus HaRash doesn't. Right? According to the Beis Yosef, there is a miracle every night of Chanukah. Agreed. We're going to Taisus HaRash every night of Chanukah. The menorah, instead of burning all night, burned for 1/8 of all night. Yes, sir. Oh, right, 100%. Right, in other words, there's something very beautiful about knowing that you have limited up. You know, they have all these Holocaust stories, Nebuch, about the Jews in the camps. And it's Chanukah. They want to light a menorah. And they find a tiny potato somewhere, and they're able to light it, and it lasts for like 30 seconds. And they felt a certain spiritual rejuvenation from that. And that's a very powerful lesson. And you know what? According to Taisus HaRash, that represents exactly what Chanukah was. That, I think, is his answer. Yeah. I apologize. My hearing has gotten much worse. I apologize. I can't hear you. Could we discuss it after? Okay, Mr. Feldman, I'm very sorry. Just my hearing aids are not set for this type of room. I apologize, but can we discuss it after, please? Shkayach. So let's go slowly. So one mahalach is that Enochanami, the mitzvah of Chanukah, is a minimalist mitzvah. 1/8 of oil is all that's necessary. Approach two. Yeah, please, if it's loud, it's very hard for me to hear. Right. You know what the mace is? They found the oil. The miracle is they found a cruse of oil. One thing I'll say is the Taisus HaRash had Eichet gelernt. The Taisus HaRash also knew how to learn, and he's learning that the Gemara means that the miracle is they found the oil. That's it. And they used that oil to light 8 days. Nasa by Nase. The miracle is they found oil and it lit for 8 days. It's certainly not the simple reading of the text. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Weiter. There's another way of understanding this. And that way is that there's a discussion in the poskim about chatzi shir by mitzvos. Remember, we have a question. How did they light the menorah 1/8 of oil each night? Doesn't that mean that they get no mitzvah at all? So the answer might be that as a matter of halacha, if I do part of a mitzvah, it's not nothing. Part of a mitzvah might be religiously significant. Let's say a Jew, we know the Yontiv of Pesach, you have to eat a kezayis matzah. I know the way we eat the Seder, we eat how many kezayisim? Like, 5 kezayisim a matzah. Right? And for us, a kezayis is roughly the size of an ostrich egg. Or something like that. Right? Our kezayisim are massive, and that's how we do the mitzvah. Beautiful, wonderful, marvelous. But you also have to know that, let's say, you have less than even a kezayis of matzah. You don't even have an olive size. You have mamish, a tiny, tiny bit. Do you get the mitzvah of achilas matzah? Do you get that mitzvah? So it's not clear in the poskim. It's not clear. The Gemara says the chatzi shir is asur min ha-tayra. Let's say I have nevela, I have some treif meat. So not only does the Torah say it's forbidden to eat a kezayis of treif meat, but we paskin, some achlokes in the Gemara in Yoma, we paskin the chatzi shir is asur min ha-tayra, and that means I can't even eat a tiny morsel of treif meat. When it comes to isurim, any tiny amount of iser, forbidden. By mitzvos, do I say that chatzi mitzvah matters? Or do I say chatzi mitzvah is insignificant? And if you look at the sources over here, the Mishneh LeMelech in Parakaf of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Mishneh LeMelech tells us, in his opinion, chatzi mitzvah is nothing. But the Chidon, the Sefer Machzik Bracha in Source 5, the Chidah tells us that Midah Tova has to be Meruba Mimidas Peranus. Meaning that if there's an Isser Da'irais of Chatzi Shir, that if I eat a tiny bit of Chalev, I violate a Torah prohibition, so Alachas Kama Vikama Tova Mechupelos Lamoko Malenu, if I eat a tiny bit of matzah, I get some sort of mitzvah. And there's some achrayim, even the Seichemed, who discuss that it could be that you recite a bracha. That let's say, nishtugadach, you're in a place where you don't have even a kezayis a matzah, eat what you have, a tiny bit, and some say even you make a bracha, some say that maybe you change the nusach ha-bracha, just like when men put on a talis katan in the morning. They say a different bracha than they make on the talis gadol. Right? Maybe we change the nusach ha-bracha because perhaps the talis katan isn't big enough, but we still make a bracha. Maybe also that tiny morsel of matzah is enough to be yotzei a mitzvah. And we could argue that perhaps that's the lesson of the Nes of Chanukah. What they did is they divided it up. They divided up the oil into 8 parts, and each night they are getting a tiny bit of a mitzvah. And maybe the hashgafic idea over here is to say, you know what, do what you can. And you have a tiny bit. Don't beat yourself up, oh Nebuch, I can't get the mitzvah, it's not worth anything. No. any tiny amount of mitzvah is also significant. And maybe that's what the lesson of Chanukah is all about. Yes, sir? Right, so there's a whole discussion in Lamdas and Maseches Yuma. Does Chatzis Shir have the same din of the Shir? Is Chatzis Shir Nevela considered an Isser Nevela? Is Chatzis Shir Chelev considered an Isser Chelev? Or not? Or maybe there's a general, an allgemeiner principle that applies that all Chatzis Shir are considered Usser. So you're right. According to that Mahalach in the Achronim, that a Chatzis Shir doesn't have its identity, so you can't say the Shtickle Torah. Absolutely. But you know what we could do with Lamdas? We have like a chessboard, and like we move pieces around. And that's what makes Judaism so much fun. Right? So, Ena Chanami. Now, a third of... Yes, sir. Can you just speak louder? So apparently they felt, and this is an interesting point also, if I could do more mitzvah in a less mechuder dikah way, or a larger mitzvah in a more mechuder dikah way, what do I do? The Chofetz Chaim on the Sefer Avas Chesed discusses, let's say a Jew has $1 million to donate. Halavai should happen to all of us. I have $1 million to give to tzedakah. Do I give $1 million gift to one institution that will make a huge bang? It will mamish, right? It will mamish have tremendous impact. It will make that institution survive. Or do I give $1 to 1 million different institutions? Right? Slahavdo, it's like the Polish lottery. No? You get $1 a year for 1 million years. But the question is, what's a better way of doing tzedakah? What's a better way of doing mitzvah? Now you're right, it's not exactly parallel, because in the tzedakah case, I'm at least getting some sort of mitzvah. There's no din of chatzis shir at all by tzedakah. Every, right, pruta mitzaref is the chesh ben gadol, every time that I give. But as a matter of hashkafa, there is a certain value in doing more maisim that will have less impact rather than doing fewer maisim that will have greater impact. We see this idea, by the way, lahavdol, in terms of averos, right? We see the same idea, according to many poskim, that it's worse to do many smaller averos rather than one larger avera. This is the discussion, the Rosh and the Ran, about if you have a chola on Shabbos, you shecht an entire animal for him to eat it, or do you, right, not shecht the animal, eat a tiny, tiny, tiny bit each time? That's that same discussion. Again, you could write books on each nekuda over here. Yes. Right, and Elchanan is my... But at the same time, I think the Hashgafa point is that being involved, that idea of Chofetz Chaim is saying to be marigal a person, to improve our personality by doing an action again and again and again and again, right? I become a better person. So maybe I become a better person if I do a teeny, teeny bit every day rather than one full mitzvah. Again, yesh la'ayin, is it correct, is it not correct? Obviously the other answers of the Beis Yosef are disagreeing with this, Nakuda, but I think the point is still at least worth saying. Yeah. Right. Right, the Gemara says that in terms of the menorah that they built, right, first they make it out of like a wood, then they add some lead to it, etc. Right, it could be. In other words, we try to do what we can do, and then we hope that with time we'll be able to do the mitzvah fully. Yes, sir. I apologize, you have to speak loud. Right, so that's the real question. And this is an essay that Reb Usher Weiss has in one place. If I have to balance hider mitzvah versus mitzvah b'shleimusa. Right? Really, these two concepts are not exactly the same. I agree. I have a lot to say on that, but that will take us too far afield. Okay, weiter. There is another mahalach, though, that relates to the first Gemara in the Sugyas of Chanukah. The first Gemara in the Sugyas of Chanukah discuss whether kavsa zakukla or whether kavsa eino zakukla. Meaning, I light a Chanukah menorah, and it blows out. Do I have to relight it? And we paskin kavsa eino zakukla. That's in Shulchan Aruch Tafreshayin Gimel Seif Beis. Kavsa eino zakukla. If I light a candle and it goes out, I don't have to relight it. And there's a discussion, even if I light the candle Erev Shabbos, where it's not yet dark at all, still, the simple reading of the Mechaber, etc., Kavsa eino zakukla, you don't have to relight it. That's the halacha. Now, what does that mean? What's this dispute? Kavsa zakukla, kavsa eino zakukla. So everyone and his uncle and aunt, they all say the same mahalach. And the approach is something to the effect of that you have to analyze whether the mitzvah of Neiris Chanukah is to light it or whether the mitzvah is that it should be lit. Is the mitzvah of Neiris Chanukah that I have to ensure that it's burning for half an hour? That's what we call persume nisa, that you have to publicize the miracle, you have to make sure people see it. Or do I say, no, persume nisa is a nice idea, but it's separate from the fundamental mitzvah of Chanukah. The fundamental mitzvah of Chanukah is I light it. I light it. If it happens to burn, so then I get extra points. I get persume nisa, which is a separate and distinct mitzvah. But my mitzvah is to light. Right? My mitzvah is to light. Yes, ma'am. I apologize. Right. In other words, if you hold kafsa eino zakukla, so the mitzvah of hadlokas neiris chanukah is you do that, you light it. You light it. And it does, again, obviously, it's better if it burns for half an hour. But if you light it and it blows out, again, that's Beferish in Shulchan Aruch. Okay? This is not Chas V'Shalom Reform Judaism. This is Beferish in Shulchan Aruch. You light a Chanukah menorah, and then the wind comes and it blows it out. Kavsa? Eino zakukla. You don't have to relight it. They say in Yiddish that Reb Chaim Voloshiner used to say that unter tafkid is zu tun, nit zu optun. Our responsibility is to do things, not to accomplish. Accomplishment is biyadav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam decides whether or not we'll accomplish. Unter tafkid is zu tun. Our responsibility is that we got to do what we got to do. And we got to light a Chanukah menorah. And if it burns, ma tovu manoim gevaldik, wonderful, but if it goes out, okay, right? Kavsa, eino zakukla. If this approach is correct, so that effectively means that there's two mitzvahs by hadlakas neiris Chanukah. One mitzvah is you light it, end. Then there's a separate and distinct mitzvah that it should burn for a while, and maybe. Maybe what they were doing when they divided up into eight parts, they need eight parts because they know that it will take 8 days to get a nice amount of oil that you'll really fulfill the mitzvah properly. But maybe what they're doing when they divide it up into eight parts is they're saying, you know what, the fundamental mitzvah is to light it. And that's it. And they're getting the mitzvah. Gevaldik. That's the mitzvah. Hadlokas Neiros. And you know what they're trying to show, what Chazal is showing us when they say they divide it up into eight parts? They're saying that you have to know how to learn. And you have to realize that the mitzvah of Pirsume Nisa, the mitzvah that should burn, is a separate and distinct mitzvah. And that maybe is the lesson of Chanukah. This, I think, is the second Mahalach. You know, Rashi writes on HaTorah, on the psukim that begin, we laid this on Zos Chanukah, the Torah writes, Ba'aloschas HaNeiros, Rashi writes, Shetehe Shalheves Ola Me'ileho, right, that you light the wick enough that the flame burns on its own. And many explain that the lesson of Chinuch, the way a Rebbe, a teacher, is supposed to educate their students, is Shetehe Shalheves Ola Me'ileho. You can't do everything for your students. You can't teach them everything. You have to teach them the requisite, the proper skills, so that they can burn on their own. That sounds so bad. But you have to teach the proper skills so that they know what to do. Shetehe Shalheves Ola Me'ileho. Unzer Tafkid is Tutun. You light that fire. Whether you'll be successful, right? Sometimes you could have all the proper machshava. Sometimes people blame a Rebbe. They blame a teacher. They blame a parent. And they say, what happened to your kids? The answer isn't that we did something wrong. The answer is, we did what we have to do. We lit that menorah. Right? Kavsa eino zakukla. We did what we have to do. The lesson, of course, also connects to the Mochama of the Chashmonaim. You know, if you read the book of Maccabees in the second chapter, so Matisyo Kayan Gadol, right after he kills this fellow who decided to listen to the king and sacrifice a pig on the Mizbeach, Matisyo Kayan Gadol, again, we don't know exactly whether he was really a Kohen Gadol. He's living in Modi Inn, no? The Kohanim Gadolim are supposed to live in Yerushalayim the whole time. Okay, Kasha. But Matisyo Kayan Gadol, he gathers up a small group and he runs away, and there's some discussion over there. Why are you doing this? So he says, we have to do what we can for Hashem. We might not be successful. Unzer Tafkid is Tutun, Nitzu Uptun. We might not accomplish. We got to do what we can do. And that, I think, is also another Chanukah lesson. So we pask in that Kofsa Ein Zakukla, you need enough there, the way we do it. And maybe the mitzvah of Chanukah that we have is not exactly the same as the mitzvah in the Mikdash. That itself is another chakira that you have to analyze. But the lesson of that tiny flickering light that lasts for just a brief amount of time as some sort of fulfillment, I think that point we can see from the sources. Just want to talk... Yes, ma'am. First you light, and then you need... Okay. And now, so the miracle is that it was successful. Okay, absolutely. Now, we have to do what we have to do, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam makes us successful. Right? We do what we can do. Right? Okay, fine. Let's just move on to one other problem in this first answer to the Beis Yosef. Remember, the first answer to the Beis Yosef is that they divided the candle up into eight. They divide the oil up into eight parts, and it lights each night. They have enough oil. Again, the way the Tosafot Rashi said is that each night it didn't last the whole time. But the Beis Yosef himself, and someone from this side of the room pointed that out already, the Beis Yosef really sounds like that it burned the full amount every night. And this leads the Me'iri to ask a question. Source number 7. The Me'iri quotes this approach, and he says, "Ve'ein nirali she'im kein hecha yuheim somchan al hanes belayla rishona." The Me'iri asks a question. The first night, they're lighting 1/8 of oil. We have a principle in halacha of ein somchan al hanes. You don't rely on miracles. So how did they divide the oil up and then light it Ein something al anes. That's the Me'iri's question. You're right. According to the Taisus HaRash, there's no kasha at all, etc. But the Me'iri is understanding the traditional way that it lit the full amount of time. He asks the kasha, Ein somchen al hanes. Now, this issue of Ein somchen al hanes is a hard issue. It's clear in the Gemara in a number of places that they didn't rely on miracles. Where this appears in Chumash is not clear. Many understand, if you look in the Encyclopedia Talmudit article of Ein Somchen al Hanes, you'll see all the sources over here. But many understand that comes from the Pasuk of Lo Tinasu Es Hashem Elokeichem. Don't test the Ribono Shel Olam. Try to do things in a way, in the proper way, the best way. Ein Somchen al Hanes. Now, if that's the approach, so it could be the Gemara in Tainis has a different understanding of Lo Tinasu Es Hashem Elokeichem, which means don't think because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes certain promises. The promise that if you give Meiser, you'll get back whatever you give. Meiser is actually the exception. The promise that if you spend money on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it doesn't count towards your yearly expenses. Right? Don't test the Ribono Shel Olam, etc. That's how the Bavli understands it. But according to a number of sources in Yerushalmi, Lo Tinasu Es Hashem means Ein Somchen al Hanes. And this principle applied in the Beis HaMikdash as well. You know, the first mission in Yoma tells me that they had to be mafresh a second Kohen Gadol. Before the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, they had to designate someone as backup Kohen Gadol. And why did they designate that person as backup Kohen Gadol? Because maybe Kohen Gadol number one won't be able to do the Avodah. And the Gemara says the reason he won't be able to do the Avodah is because maybe he'll be Roah Keri. Maybe he'll have a seminal omission. And that's why he can't do the Avodah. The problem is that the Mishnah and the Avos tells us that one of the miracles in the Beis HaMikdash was no one was Roah Keri. It didn't happen. No one in the Beis HaMikdash had that seminal omission. So why on earth did they have to designate another Kohen Gadol? Answer is, Ein Somchen al Hanes. To rely on that would be relying on a miracle. We don't rely on miracles. The Lechem HaPonim was put on some tables when they're preparing it. Zok the Gemara, the tables are supposed to be, the Mishnah in Tumet has this about where they cut up the karbanos, the meat also. They used tables of stone rather than tables of metal, of gold. Now, or silver. You would think that the Beis HaMikdash, Beheichalo Kulo Omer Kavod, this is the place that you should have, Ein Anias B'Makom Ashiris, the Gemara says. You would think that you should have gold and silver. Why are they doing it on stone, on Shayish? Zok the Gemara, well, metal gets hot, and it might make the meat begin to rot, and it might make the bread begin to get moldy. It never happened in the Mikdash. These things, right, one of the miracles the Mishnah and others says is that they never saw a fly in the Beis HaMikdash. They never saw a fly. Why did they do this? Answer is, Ein Soimchen al Hanes. How about Shemitah? So Shemitah, the Torah gives a bracha. V'tzivisi es birchasi v'asas hatfuah l'shalosh hashanim. So is that really a miracle? Miracle means something that shelo b'derech hateva. It can be b'derech hateva that you have a bumper crop one year. Right? Bumper crops happen. There are good economies. It happens midei pam. Right? So I don't think that's really a miracle. That's a bruch. It's not a miracle. But we have a principle of Ein Somchen al Hanes. And therefore the Me'iri asks, how does the first answer of the Beis Yosef tell me that they divided the oil up and it lit for a full night? Don't we know Ein Somchen al Hanes? So there are a number of answers that are given. The Ritva quotes an opinion which he rejects, that maybe for great tzaddikim you can be Somech al Hanes. The Ritva there in in Shabbos Daf Mem Tes, tells us the story of Elisha Bal Knafayim. There's this fellow who the Romans made a decree you can't wear tefillin. And this fellow, he's an action. He's going to wear tefillin anyway. So a Roman chases after him, and he says, what is this? And he like pulls him up and says, it's Kanfei Yoina. It's like wings of a dove. And he lived. I ain't Soimchan al Hanes. So the Ritva himself has one answer at the end, but he quotes one of the Rishonim who says, you know what, ein somchan al hanes is not relevant, because big tzaddikim can be somech al hanes. And the Sefer HaChinuch has this idea in the midst of ma'akeh. You know, we have to build a ma'akeh around our roof. By the way, someone has to measure whether that's tall enough. I'm not joking. But there's a mitzvah that you have to build a ma'akeh, ki yipol hanofel mimenu. That chas v'shalom, someone shouldn't fall off. It's a mitzvah in that way. And the Sefer HaChinuch writes, even though there's some tzaddikim, that lo yehuna v'tzadik ha'oven, a certain tzaddikim like Avram Avinu is thrown into Kifshan Eish, Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah thrown in, and these people can rely on miracles, says the Sefer HaChinuch, in mitzvah Tav Kuf Mem Vav, which I give you a source 11. Nonetheless, for most people, it's not true. And therefore, you have to build a ma'akeh. That means that tremendous tzaddikim have a right to rely on a miracle, and perhaps Matisyo Kayin Gadol Bonav, they were those tremendous tzaddikim, they could rely on a miracle. Perhaps in the Mikdash, after the Melchama, after the Nitzachon of the Chashmonaim, after the tzaddikim, Masat Giborim Biyad Chaloshim, so then you can be Somech Al Hanes. That's one approach. Another approach, however, is based on the Yalkut Shimoni in Sefer Shmuel. There's this fighter, Goliath. Goliath is quite an imposing and impressive individual, and everyone is scared to fight Goliath. Little David shows up with his slingshot, like we all know the story, and they ask him, hey dude, how are you going to do this? So David HaMelech says, "Gam es ha'ari ve'es hadov hika avdecha." That I was a shepherd, and a lion came to attack my little shepselach, and I pushed him away. And a bear came, and I pushed him away. Gam es ha'ari ve'es hadov hika avdecha. But it still doesn't answer the question. How's David HaMelech fighting Goliath? Ein soimchen al hanes. Right, how can you do it? So what if this guy is chayref alokim chayim? So what if every morning and every evening he's standing there and he's cursing? Ein soimchen al hanes. How do you do it? So the Yalkut Shimoni writes that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a remez to a person. And that remez is what gets the person to realize, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with me. Because something already happened. A miracle already happened, and that indicates to that person that I can rely on future miracles. And that's what happened with David HaMelech. Gam es ha'ari ve'es hadov hika avdecha. David HaMelech had miracles. So therefore he tells Shaul, I could do it, I could fight Goliath. And that comes to the Chashmonaim also. The Chashmonaim are saying, you know what? We won. We won Giborim Biyad Chaloshim, Rabim Biyad Ma'atim. We were successful with our weak little yeshiva bachar army. Right? The jacket doesn't even match the pants. Right? You know what yeshiva bachar look like. We won. We still won. So you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle for us. And once HaKadosh Baruch Hu did one miracle, so we have a remez, we have a hint, we have an indication that future miracles will happen. And maybe this pshat can explain why we have two miracles of Chanukah. We have both the Nitzachon, we have the Nes of the Melchama, and we also have the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. And everyone discussed what's the interrelationship between these two miracles. What's the Shaychus, what's the connection? The answer might be that the Neis HaMilchama, that's the remez. That's the hint, that's the indication that that miracles are going to happen, right? 1969 Mets, you gotta believe, right? That's the indication. And you know what? Once you have that remez, so then there's going to be a nes of the Pach HaShemen also. So the nes milchama is what's megala, that the nes Pach HaShemen could happen, and maybe that's the pshat in why we need two miracles. So again, just to summarize what we did, we have two answers, the Beis Yosef answer, two answer, three. Either that the jar continued to replenish itself, or that the fire didn't consume. We understand hashgafically what this shows. It's like something about the nes of Elisha, the nes of Eliyahu HaNavi, that it doesn't stop, and it's like the sne bo'er ba'esh ha'sne inenu ukal. Beautiful. What about the first answer of the Beis Yosef? The answer they divide up into eight parts. It could be it wasn't a miracle at all, but still there are lessons. It could be it was a miracle, and the idea is that still you have to do what you can do. Partial mitzvahs is enough. And it could be, even though ordinarily we don't rely on miracles, but the nes of Chanukah is that since we had a miracle, we had a milchama that we won. So that's megala to us that there can be future miracles. And even though ordinarily ain't simchin al hanes, but when it comes to Yemei Chanukah, we can be somech al hanes. Maybe that's the lesson of the Yontif. Again, these are some of my thoughts. I might be completely wrong, but I like them anyway. Thank you for listening.